advertised objectives of our first sanitarium. The Western Health Reform Institute, September 1866, Battle Creek, Michigan. This institution was opened for the reception of patients and hygienic boarders on the 5th of September, 1866. Diseases are here treated on hygienic principles, and instruction is imparted both theoretically and practically to patients and boarders on the important subject of preserving health as well as recovering from disease. In the treatment of the sick, no drugs whatever will be administered, but only such means employed as nature can best use in her recuperative work, such as water, air, light, heat, food, sleep, rest, recreation, etc. Vegetables, grains, and fruits, which are found in great variety and abundance in this vicinity, will constitute the staple articles of diet. This institute is admirably located on a site of over 7 acres, in the highest part of the pleasant and enterprising city of Battle Creek, commanding a fine prospect and affording ample opportunities for entertainment, quiet, and retirement. With a competent corps of physicians and helpers, this institution offers to the sick all the inducements to come and be cured that are presented by any other establishment. Battle Creek is an important station on the Michigan Central RR and is easy of access from all parts of the country. All trains stop. Those who are afflicted with any of the ills that flesh is heir to are invited to avail themselves of the benefits here offered for the recovery of that lost treasure, health. Charges below the average of other first-class institutions of this kind. For further particulars, see circular, sent free on application. Address, Dr. Lay, Battle Creek, Michigan. A unique missionary agency, if rightly conducted. Our people should have an institution of their own, under their own control, for the benefit of the diseased and suffering among us who wish to have health and strength, that they may glorify God in their bodies and spirits, which are His. Such an institution, rightly conducted, would be the means of bringing our views before many whom it would be impossible for us to reach by the common course of advocating the truth. As unbelievers shall resort to an institution devoted to the successful treatment of disease and conducted by Sabbath-keeping physicians, they will be brought directly under the influence of the truth. By becoming acquainted with our people and our real faith, their prejudice will be overcome, and they will be favorably impressed. By thus being placed under the influence of truth, some will not only obtain relief from bodily infirmities, but will find a healing balm for their sin-sick souls. As the health of invalids improves under judicious treatment, and they begin to enjoy life, they have confidence in those who have been instrumental in their restoration to health. Their hearts are filled with gratitude, and the good seed of truth will the more readily find a lodgment there, and in some cases will be nourished, spring up, and bear fruit to the glory of God. One such precious soul saved will be worth more than all the means needed to establish such an institution. Some will not have enough moral courage to yield to their convictions. They may be convinced that Sabbath keepers have the truth, but the world and unbelieving relatives stand in the way of their receiving it. They cannot bring their minds to the point to sacrifice all for Christ. Yet some of this last-mentioned class will go away with their prejudice removed and will stand as defenders of the faith of Seventh-day Adventists. Some who go away restored or greatly benefited will be the means of introducing our faith in new places and raising the standard of truth where it would have been impossible to gain access had not prejudice been first removed from minds by a tarry among our people for the object of gaining health. Why unbelievers are admitted. The health reform is a branch of the special work of God for the benefit of His people. I saw that in an institution established among us, the greatest danger would be of its managers departing from the spirit of the present truth and from that simplicity which should ever characterize the disciples of Christ. A warning was given me against lowering the standard of truth in any way in such an institution, in order to help the feelings of unbelievers and thus secure their patronage. The great object of receiving unbelievers into the institution is to lead them to embrace the truth. If the standard be lowered, they will get the impression that the truth is of little importance, and they will go away in a state of mind harder of access than before.
To bring about dress reform. God designed that the sanitarium which he had established should stand forth as a beacon of light, of warning and reproof. He would prove to the world that an institution conducted on religious principles as an asylum for the sick could be sustained without sacrificing its peculiar, holy character, that it could be kept free from the objectionable features that are found in other institutions of the kind. It was to be an instrumentality in his hand to bring about great reforms. Wrong habits of life should be corrected, the morals elevated, the tastes changed, the dress reformed. Disease of every type is brought upon the body through the unhealthful, fashionable style of dress, and the fact should be made prominent that a reform must take place before treatment will effect a cure. The perverted appetite has been pampered until disease has been produced as the sure result. The crippled, dwarfed faculties and organs cannot be strengthened and invigorated without decided reforms. And if those connected with the sanitarium are not in every respect correct representatives of the truths of health reform, decided reformation must make them what they should be, or they must be separated from the institution. Testimonies for the Church, 4, 582, 1881. To prepare minds to discern sacred truth. All are bound by the most sacred obligations to God to heed the sound philosophy and genuine experience which he is now giving them in reference to health reform. He designs that the great subject of health reform shall be agitated and the public mind deeply stirred to investigate. For it is impossible for men and women, with all their sinful, health-destroying, brain-enervating habits, to discern sacred truth, through which they are to be sanctified, refined, elevated, and made fit for the society of heavenly angels in the kingdom of glory. Employees are missionaries, brought into contact with all classes. It is of the highest importance that this asylum for those who are diseased in body and mind shall be such that Jesus, the mighty healer, can preside among them, and all that is done may be under the control of his Spirit. All connected with this institution should qualify themselves for the faithful discharge of their God-given responsibilities. They should attend to every little duty with as much fidelity as to matters of great importance. All should study prayerfully how they can themselves become most useful and make this retreat for the sick a grand success. We do not realize with what anxiety patients with their various diseases come to the sanitarium, all desiring help, but some doubtful and distrusting, while others are more confident that they shall be relieved. Those who have not visited the institution are watching with interest every indication of the principles which are cherished by its manager. All who profess to be children of God should unceasingly bear in mind that they are missionaries, in their labors brought in connection with all classes of minds. There will be the refined and the coarse, the humble and the proud, the religious and the skeptical, the confiding and the suspicious, the liberal and the avaricious, the pure and the corrupt, the educated and the ignorant, the rich and the poor. In fact, almost every grade of character and condition will be found among the patients at the sanitarium. Those who come to this asylum come because they need help, and thus, whatever their station or condition, they acknowledge that they are not able to help themselves. These varied minds cannot be treated alike, yet all, whether they are rich or poor, high or low, dependent or independent, need kindness, sympathy, and love. By mutual contact, our minds should receive polish and refinement. We are dependent upon one another, closely bound together by the ties of human brotherhood. It is through the social relations that Christianity comes in contact with the world. Every man or woman who has tasted of the love of Christ and has received into the heart the divine illumination, is required of God to shed light on the dark pathway of those who are unacquainted with the better way. Every worker in that sanitarium should become a witness for Jesus. Social power, sanctified by the Spirit of Christ, must be improved to win souls to the Savior. With scientific ability and spiritual power. A special effort should be made to secure the services of conscientious Christian workers. It is the purpose of God that a health institution should be organized and controlled exclusively by Seventh-day Adventists. And when unbelievers are brought in to occupy responsible positions, an influence is presiding there that will tell with great weight against the sanitarium. God did not intend that this institution should be carried on after the order of any other health institution in the land, but that it should be one of the most effectual instrumentalities in his hands of giving light to the world. It should stand forth with scientific ability, with moral and spiritual peer, and as a faithful sentinel of reform in all its bearings. And all who act a part in it should be reformers, having respect to its rules, and heeding the light of health reform now shining upon us as a people. All can be a blessing to others if they will place themselves where they will correctly represent the religion of Jesus Christ. But there has been greater anxiety to make the outward appearance in every way presentable, that it may meet the minds of worldly patients, than to maintain a living connection with heaven, to watch and pray that this instrumentality of God may be wholly successful in doing good to the bodies and also to the souls of men. Heaven-approved method of medical practice. There are many ways of practicing the healing art, but there is only one way that heaven approves. God's remedies are the simple agencies of nature that will not tax or debilitate the system through their powerful properties. Pure air and water, cleanliness, a proper diet, purity of life, and a firm trust in God are remedies for the want of which thousands are dying. Yet these remedies are going out of date because their skillful use requires work that the people do not appreciate. Fresh air, exercise, pure water, and clean, sweet premises are within the reach of all with but little expense. But drugs are expensive, both in the outlay of means and in the effect produced upon the system. The work of the Christian physician does not end with healing the maladies of the body. His efforts should extend to the diseases of the mind, to the saving of the soul. The physician should know how to pray. In many cases, he must increase suffering in order to save life, and whether the patient is a Christian or not, he feels greater security if he knows that his physician fears God. Prayer will give the sick an abiding confidence, and many times, if their cases are borne to the great physician in humble trust, it will do more for them than all the drugs that can be administered. Satan is the originator of disease, and the physician is warring against his work and power. Sickness of the mind prevails everywhere. 9/10 of the diseases from which men suffer have their foundation here. Perhaps some living home trouble is, like a canker, eating to the very soul and weakening the life forces. Remorse for sin sometimes undermines the constitution and unbalances the mind. The physician needs more than human wisdom and power that he may know how to minister to the many perplexing cases of disease of the mind and heart with which he is called to deal. If he is ignorant of the power of divine grace, he cannot help the afflicted one, but will aggravate the difficulty. But if he has a firm hold upon God, he will be able to help the diseased, distracted mind. He will be able to point his patients to Christ and teach them to carry all their cares and perplexities to the great burden bearer. Importance of psychosomatic medicine. To deal with men and women whose mind as well as bodies are diseased is a nice work. Great wisdom is needed by the physicians at the Institute in order to cure the body through the mind. But few realize the power that the mind has over the body. A great deal of the sickness which afflicts humanity has its origin in the mind and can only be cured by restoring the mind to health. There are very many more than we imagine who are sick mentally. Heart sickness makes many dyspeptics, for mental trouble has a paralyzing influence upon the digestive organs. In order to reach this class of patients, the physician must have discernment, patience, kindness, and love. A sore, sick heart, a discouraged mind, needs mild treatment, and it is through tender sympathy that this class of minds can be healed. The physicians should first gain their confidence, and then point them to the all-healing physician. If their minds can be directed to the burden-bearer, and they can have faith that he will have an interest in them, the cure of their diseased bodies and minds will be sure.
Danger of losing sight of objectives. Physicians who would be successful in the treatment of disease should know how to minister to a diseased mind. They can have a powerful influence for good if they make God their trust. Some invalids need to be relieved of pain before the mind can be reached. After relief has come to the body, the physician can frequently the more successfully appeal to the conscience, and the heart will be more susceptible to the influences of the truth. There is danger of those connected with the health institute losing sight of the object for which such an institution was established by Seventh-day Adventists, and working from the worldling standpoint, patterning after other institutions. One of the great objects of our health institute is to direct sin-sick souls to the great physician, the true healing fountain, and call their attention to the necessity of reform from a religious standpoint, that they no longer violate the law of God by sinful indulgences. If the moral sensibilities of invalids can be aroused, and they see that they are sinning against their Creator by bringing sickness upon themselves and by the indulgence of appetite and debasing passions, when they leave the health institute, they will not leave their principles behind, but will take them with them and be genuine health reformers at home. If the moral sensibilities are aroused, patients will have a determination to carry out their convictions of conscience, and if they see the truth, they will obey it. They will have true, noble independence to practice the truths to which they assent. And if the mind is at peace with God, the bodily conditions will be more favorable. A great popular work, not our objective. Let those to whom are committed the physical and also to a great extent the spiritual interests of the afflicted people of God, beware how they, through worldly policy or personal interest, or a desire to be engaged in a great and popular works, call down upon themselves and this branch of the cause the frown of God. They should not depend upon their skill alone. If the blessing, instead of the frown, of God be upon the institution, angels will attend patients, helpers, and physicians to assist in the work of restoration, so that in the end the glory will be given to God and not to feeble, short-sighted man. Should these men work from a worldly policy, and should their hearts be lifted up and they feel to say, "My power and the might of my hand hath done this," God would leave them to work under the great disadvantages of their inferiority to other institutions in knowledge, experience, and facilities. They could not then accomplish half as much as other institutions do. Conditions of God's blessings. The great work of reform must go forward. The Health Institute has been established at Battle Creek to relieve the afflicted, to disseminate light, to awaken the spirit of inquiry, and to advance reform. This institution is conducted upon principles which are different from those of any other hygienic institution in the land. Money is not the great object with its friends and conductors. They conduct it from a conscientious, religious standpoint, aiming to carry out the principles of Bible hygiene. Most institutions of the kind are established upon different principles and are conservative, making it their object to meet the popular class halfway and to so shape their course that they will receive the greatest patronage and the most money. The Health Institute at Battle Creek is established upon firm religious principles. Its conductors acknowledge God as the real proprietor. Physicians and helpers look to Him for guidance and aim to move conscientiously in His fear. For this reason, it stands upon a sure basis. When feeble, suffering invalids learn in regard to the principles of the directors, superintendent, physicians, and helpers at the Institute, that they have the fear of God before them, they will feel safer there than at popular institutions.
If those connected with the Health Institute at Battle Creek should descend from the pure, exalted principles of Bible truth to imitate the theories and practices of those at the head of other institutions, where only the diseases of invalids are treated, and that merely for money, the conductors not working from a high, religious standpoint, God's special blessing would not rest upon the Institute. This institution is designed of God to be one of the greatest aids in preparing a people to be perfect before God. In order to attain to this perfection, men and women must have physical and mental strength to appreciate the elevated truths of God's Word and be brought into a position where they will discern the imperfections in their moral characters. They should be in earnest to reform, that they may have friendship with God. The religion of Christ is not to be placed in the background, and its holy principles laid down to meet the approval of any class, however popular. If the standard of truth and holiness is lowered, the design of God will not then be carried out in this institution. Other health institutions are looking with a jealous eye upon the Health Institute at Battle Creek. They work from the world's standpoint, while the managers of the Health Institute work from a religious standpoint, acknowledging God as their proprietor. They do not labor selfishly for means alone, but for the sake of Christ and humanity. They are seeking to benefit suffering humanity, to heal the diseased mind as well as the suffering body, by directing invalids to Christ, the sinner's friend. They do not leave religion out of the question, but make God their trust and dependence. The sick are directed to Jesus. After the physicians have done what they can in behalf of the sick, they ask God to work with their efforts and restore the suffering invalids to health. This He has done in some cases in answer to the prayer of faith, and this He will continue to do if they are faithful and put their trust in Him. The Health Institute will be a success, for God sustains it. And if His blessing attends the Institute, it will prosper and will be the means of doing a great amount of good. Other institutions are aware that a high standard of moral and religious influence exists at our Institute. They see that its conductors are not actuated by selfish, worldly principles, and they are jealous in regard to its commanding and leading influence. To copy no other institution, if this institution is what God designed it should, as His instrumentality, it will not copy any institution in our land in its practices or moral standing. It will stand as a peculiar institution, governed and controlled after the Bible standard. No motive will be of sufficient force to move those engaged here from the straight line of duty. It will be reformatory in all its teachings and practice. There will be no uniting in closer harmony with the world in order to receive worldly patronage. To take its rightful place, the health reform is closely connected with the work of the third message, yet it is not the message. Our preachers should teach the health reform, yet they should not make this the leading theme in the place of the message. Its place is among those subjects which set forth the preparatory work to meet the events brought to view by the message. Among these, it is prominent. We should take hold of every reform with zeal, yet should avoid giving the impression that we are vacillating and subject to fanaticism. Our people should furnish means to meet the wants of a growing health institute among us, as they are able to do, without giving less for the other wants of the cause. Let the health reform and the health institute grow up among us as other worthy enterprises have grown, taking into the account our feeble strength in the past and our greater ability to do much in a short period of time now. Let the Health Institute grow, as other interests among us have grown, as fast as it can safely, and not cripple other branches of the great work which are of equal or greater importance at this time. For a brother to put a large share of his property, whether he has much or little, into the Institute, so as to be unable to do as much in other directions as he otherwise should, would be wrong. And for him to do nothing would be as great a wrong. With every stirring appeal to our people for means to put into the Institute, there should have been a caution not to rob other branches of the work, especially should the liberal poor have been cautioned.